You got your Bibles, turn with us this morning to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. We're going to be preaching some familiar verses to you today, and we pray that God will help somebody. Did you come to church with an expectation this morning? Amen. You know, one man talked about that donkey that Jesus come riding into town on, and on that Palm Sunday when they are all laying out the palm branches, and Jesus was riding upon that little donkey, and how the people of the town all gathered around there in the streets, and they was just praising him. They was just worshiping him. They was singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. And said that that donkey went on back home to his mama later on that day and was just so excited about what took place. Well, the next day, the donkey went right back through that same town, and there wasn't anybody out there. And it said that donkey came back home to his mama, was discouraged, was upset, was saddened. And his mama said, what's wrong? He said, yesterday when I went riding through the town, there was all these people of the town with these palm branches. They was praising and worshiping me. And I was just being exalted and felt so good. But today when I went through the town, nobody was out there. Nobody was praising me. And the donkey's mama said, you've got to have him with you. You can't do it on your own. And we need Jesus with us today. I surely can't do this on my own. And I appreciate God. I appreciate his help. And if you have your places in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, church said amen. Amen. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass. I like that right there. We could just stop right there. And it came to pass. What you're afflicted with in your body, what you're facing mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, it came, but it came to pass. That's a whole nother message, but that's not what God gave us today. When David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Thank you, brother. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse number 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Verse number 8 says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Verse number 17 says, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man from them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. The Apostle Paul wrote unto Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 6, and he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and that the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is a laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord would help me, on it's worth fighting for, or it's worth the fight. If you would, stretch your hands towards heaven and ask God to anoint us and help us here this morning. Father, we need you, Lord God, today. It's just, Lord, Precious Savior God, would you anoint us today? Anoint your word. Give us ears to hear what you have to say unto us today. Touch our hearts and open them, God, that we may receive your word. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. And everyone in the church said, amen. It's worth fighting for. It's worth the fight. In our story here this morning, it's a very familiar passage that we have read to you. David and his men were gone out to battle. Approximately 600 of those men were gone. And when they returned to their home, Ziklag, they saw the smoke from a distance, no doubt. They seen the fire rising from their tents, from their places where they had dwelt. No doubt panic arrested the hearts of every one of them. What has happened to my family? What has happened to my goods? What has happened to my city? No doubt the men had such a charge inside of them that they would have ran to see what has taken place unto their city. Where's my wife? I can't find her. Where's my children? I don't see them. Where's all the possessions that I once possessed? All the things that was passed on to me from my inheritance, from my foreparents? Where is those things? They're all gone. No doubt distress came upon the men. The Bible tells us that David was greatly distressed in verse 6. You ever been greatly distressed before? Our brother, as he was leading us and singing, I was thinking about that. He said, has anybody gone a month without going through some trials? Has anybody gone a month without facing some things? You ever been distressed before? Here was the man of God that was distressed. And even more, because seeing that his family was gone, all that he possessed was burned to the ground, was destroyed. But his very own men spake of stoning him. I'm talking about the people that he fought with. I mean, it's bad when we got the people in the church talking bad about us. That'll put somebody down real fast, Brother Brad, when you know your buddy, you know your sister, or somebody across the aisle has been talking bad about you. It'll bring discouragement to the heart of that person. But when you're the leader, when you're the pastor, when you're the man of God, and you know you've been laboring for the souls of your people, you've been praying and fasting and staying up in the midnight hours to get a hold of God, to get a hold of the message to reach the people in your congregation, and you know that those there are in your congregation have been kicking against what you've been preaching. They've not been standing for what the man of God has been backing up through the word of God and what our forefathers have sought after and what they have fought for. It's hard sometimes on that man of God to stand up behind this pulpit and come and weep and cry to you and give his heart unto you, because he knows you've been talking bad about him. He knows you've been kicking against what he's been preaching. It's a hard thing. But here, this man of God, David, in verse number 6, you need to highlight it or circle it in your Bible or underline it, whatever your fancy is. But do it, because it's going to be a help to you. He said, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This day that you and I are living in, our America we are living in, we are in a disaster. Times. The families are being broke up because the husbands are out working 60 to 80 hours per week. They're pulling two jobs. They're pulling unnecessary overtime, working on Saturdays, our Sabbath day in this country. It has been dissolved. Every business is open on Saturday except for Chick-fil-A and maybe just a few other small mom and pop shops. Mama's at the workforce and the children are being babysat with MP3s, iPods, Nintendo, Game Boys, the Wii, Facebook, Bebo, all of that. We could go down a list. That's their babysitting. That's their mama. That's their daddy. Where's the family altar? We need to fight for our home. Our home is worth fighting for. Amen. Our home is worth fighting for. And here David, he sees that his home was gone. Everything was burned. He did not know that his wife and children were still alive. All he could see was the disaster. And we can look across this country today, Sister Watson. I heard on the radio on my way to work the other day of a black pastor over in Oakland who took it upon himself to stand out in front of an abortion clinic with a sign that says, there is another alternative. God loves you and your baby. And because he did that, over there in Oakland, the police came and arrested that man and took him to court because of his stand. I mean, where is our freedom of speech today in America? And this man trying to do something good, I don't know what his standards are. I don't know what his beliefs are. But I do like the fact that he had enough boldness to stand up in a world of wickedness and say there is another alternative. You don't have to sin. You do not have to commit sin. The Bible says that he that committeth sin is of the devil. Your father, the devil. My God in heaven. This world is falling apart. We recognize that. We are in economical disaster. We know we don't have the best president, but the Bible tells us we must pray for him. We must pray for the leadership regardless of how we agree with him. We need to pray for him. In this day, we can look at the border patrol that's going on down in Mexico. We were scheduled to go down there next week on a missions trip. Due to some different reasons, we're not able to go at this time. Hopefully, as things clear up down there and the Mexican cartel is apprehended like they need to be and our borders are more secure and peaceful, we'll be able to go down in that direction. But we can look across the globe and we can see problems taking place. We can look at Guantanamo Bay being closed and say, what's going to happen with all of those prisoners? Where are they going to go to? What country are they going to filter in? Their own countries don't want them. We can look at the selection that Obama has picked and we can nitpick it and we can come with the same voice that Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and all them have against the presidency, and we can bring accusations against Geithner and all the Treasury Secretary and all them that haven't paid their taxes. We know that those people in that bailout money are going to AIG and all that. We could go through the list and read our newspapers and see the prices of the gas gouging in the gas stations, and we could talk about socialism and all of these things, Islam and Hamas. We know the world is in disaster. But sir, the preacher has preached to you so many times and said your home is in disaster. You don't need to be working those late hours. You don't need to be staying on the phone with the opposite sex. You don't need to be sending that text message at a midnight hour, young person. Do you hear me? When mom and daddy's asleep and you think that they don't know, my God in heaven is watching you and he knows. Our home is in disaster, but we must fight for our home. We must buckle up, Daddy. We must buckle up, Mama. We need a prayer altar around our home. With the Bible, I read somewhere where it says an altar, a family altar, will alter a family. And a family that prays together will stay together. That's my desire, is to teach my children, my wife, how to pray. To gather them around us in the close of the night. And sit upon the couch, Brother Ruiz, and say, oh, son, it's time to read the Bible. Daughter, it's time for us to get down on our knees and pray, because we have got an enemy that's out to destroy us. We have got the devil that is trying to fight and steal our soul and destroy our soul. Young person, God's looking for you to stand up and say, I want to be one to fight for my home. I was in Cleveland, Tennessee in year 1999, and my wife and our oldest son, Andrew, who's here today, they were there in Pensacola, Florida, and that's where they were living, and I was going to college there in Tennessee, and when I moved there, I wasn't right. I was in rebellion bad, and young person, I want you to listen to Brother Russell this morning, because everything that world tempts you with, everything that world pulls on you with, it's not worth it. You hear me? It ain't worth it. It is not worth it. I had chosen, and growing up in my daddy's house, he was a pastor, a military chaplain, an army chaplain. I grew up in a house where my family altar was a whole catalog of movies, VHS movies, that we would sit around and watch all the time. My daddy claimed to be a preacher, but he never taught us how to pray. I never seen my daddy praying, hardly at all. He never taught me how to search out my scripture, like the Bereans in Acts chapter, I believe, 17, or close thereby. He never taught me the desire of going after God. I learned by him to watch movies. He used to buy me alcohol, beer, and wine when I was in high school. I mean, he drew me into a very bad lifestyle. He wasn't the only cause. I made my own decisions to go the way that I went, but my whole life was in shambles. It was shattered. I mean, I had three different mamas. You hearing me? My dad wasn't satisfied with those. And that's the example that my dad brought me up in. So later on in life, no doubt I grew up just like he did. I was going the same route of destruction. I was on the wrong path. But my God put somebody in my path that brought me into a church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee on a Sunday morning, January 12th of the year 2000. The preacher preached. My heart was drawn unto an altar of prayer. I came down and prayed through unto old-timey salvation. And my God in heaven, he saved my soul and he restored my home. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, our home is worth fighting for. There's a verse of scripture I must read to you, because at the time when my wife and I were apart from one another, I was in a very bad place when I was in sin, young person. And you know, it looks like all the cool people, all the people that's having fun out there, they're not in church. They're doing their own thing, and it looks like they're having a blast. Even to our elders, I mean, it's a bad time when you can celebrate your golden anniversary and then the next week file for divorce. I mean, it's a pitiful time we're living in. That's why God is looking for a home to stand up and say, I'm going to fight for my home. When I was there in Cleveland, Tennessee, I began to pray and I began to talk to my pastor at the time, Brother Chris Oliver, and I said, I've got my wife and son living in Pensacola and I'm here. And we've got to get back together. And he said, we're going to pray and fast. And God's going to move. And God gave me a verse of scripture. Listen what it says in the book of Philemon or Philemon. He said in verse number 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. There is so many husbands out there that are lost, that are out there separated, that are out there divorced. Mamas too. Children are backslidden. Prodigals are gone. And we said, where is the hope? Will things ever be restored? Will they ever return to the house? If you, mama, would believe God today and pray and say, Lord, restore my home. Daddy, if you would say, God, restore my son. My God in heaven is able to bring the prodigal back home. He's able to take a broken home and restore it again. Our homes are worth fighting for, but there's too much build up between us. There's too much that separates us. I've got a verse of scripture. Regardless of the affliction, regardless of the pain, the torment in your mind, the scars upon your heart. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. My God is able to break down a wall in your life this morning. He's able to break down a wall in your home this morning. Oh, fear, doubt, and unbelief. God can destroy that wall. Cancer, sickness, and all the things that plague the body. My God is able to destroy the wall. But we need a mama. We need a daddy. We need a boy. We need a young girl to stand up and say, my home is worth fighting for. Amen. We need to stand up in this day that we're living in. It's a dark hour. We need to stand up for our home. The second thing we need to stand up for is holiness. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 14 is my favorite verse in holiness. When I first understood holiness, that verse of scripture locked into my heart and I never wanted to let it go, and I still have it. You all could quote it with me out of Hebrews 12 and 14. He said to follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. There's twofold to that verse. Follow peace. And let me stop there for a minute. If you don't have peace with your neighbor, if you don't have peace with your brother, if you don't have peace with your sister, if you don't have peace with your man of God, my friend, you're not going to go to heaven. I'm sorry, but this, I'm giving it to you how God gave it to me in prayer. He said, follow peace with all men. Jesus said, Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. My God in heaven, don't you want to be called the children of God? Don't you want peace to live inside of your heart? Don't you want to have peace inside of your home? If you don't have peace inside of your home, it's probably because you have not prayed and got a hold of God like you need to. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not as experienced as some of you. I hold in high regards here this morning, both on the men's side and on the women's side. I hold some of you with the highest esteem. Some of you have set such a great example in my life and my family's life, and I appreciate you. But to some of you, I want to tell you something. Your home is worth fighting for, and holiness is worth fighting for. You know, when I first found out about holiness, I was kicking against it. I could not stand it. One of my friends that I was rooming with in college, he got to talking to me after he went to Jersey Holiness, one of their meetings, and he came back and he was fired up about what he just found out, and he got to talking to me and then got to putting me down about my tight short sleeve muscle shirts and tank tops I like to used to wear. And he got to deal with me about my shorts that I used to like to put on, and got to talking to me about my Gucci gold that I had around my wrist and my neck. And he got to talking about my spiked hair that I used to have all greased up. I like what one brother said. Says it looked like some of these boys today combed their hair with an egg beater in the morning. Amen. I mean, come on now. And so he got to telling me about that, Brother Joey. And you know what I told him? I mean, I was bowed up inside of here because it was pricking me. I told him, man ain't my God. Leave me alone about it. And Brother David told me, he said, Brother Russell, he said, just pray about it. You know, I was upset enough to go into my prayer closet and pray about it. And I'm thankful that I did. Woo, glory. I got down beside my bed. I got to pray and I said, God, I said, all these things such and such that Brother David's told me about, I don't believe in them. But I just want to know, God, what you think about it. Woo, woo. Some say, well, that was the wrong thing to do. No, it was the right thing to do. And some of you that's been kicking against what the man of God's trying to stand for, the right thing for you to do. If you don't believe him and you don't believe what I'm preaching today, go find out for yourself. You want to know who's got all the answers and is never wrong and will never be wrong? That's Jesus. When you get down on your knees and you get to praying to my God in heaven, he will tell you, brother, I'm telling you what, Brother Jim, I got the praying and the Holy Ghost of heaven come down in my prayer closet and he told me to go to my closet and start with my nice. I had a $250 shirt I bought in Hawaii over there scuba diving. And God said, start with your nicest shirts, short sleeves, and rip them down all the way down to your least. I ripped them all down. He said, go to the drawer, pull out all them Tommy Hilfiger and polo and Nike shorts and rip them to pieces. I did. He said, take the Gucci gold off. I did. Get rid of the moose in the jail. I did. I'm telling you, he said, take the rings off your finger. Take the earring out your ear. My God in heaven sanctified me that day in my prayer closet. Holiness is worth fighting for. Grandmama, Grandma, Meemaw, Mana, whatever you are called, you may make the best fig preserve. You may make the best jelly, the best jam in the whole wide world, but nobody will ever know how good it is until you open the top of it and you spread a little bit on top of that bread. Anybody hungry this morning? Woo! They have some jelly over there and some toast this morning. Nobody will ever know unless you take it off that shelf, open it up, and say, just take a little smell of this right here. It smells good, don't it? Won't you try a little bit? You know, we must preserve holiness in this day that we're living in, but we must publish what we believe. When I'm at work, if somebody asks me, you know, there's a part of our fleshly man that gets scared sometimes and wants to back up because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of resistance. We're afraid of people telling us no and talking bad about us. But God, if He's put the same Holy Ghost inside of you that's inside of me, something's going to stand up and say holiness is worth fighting for. He asked me why I believe the way I believe. No, I don't handle snakes. That is the most foolish thing. And if you handle them, you need to read your Bible correctly, because it ain't right. I ain't no snake handler. I'm a Holy Ghost handler. I like the power of the Holy Ghost when it comes upon me. I've read about the snake handler church. I've seen some little clips about them. I've seen some pictures in the book. Oh God, I don't want to hold no snake. I want to hold the power of the Holy Ghost of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, I got to reading over there, Brother Watson, where it said in Deuteronomy 22 and 5, when it said, any man that weareth that which pertaineth to a woman, or a woman weareth that which pertaineth unto a man, is an abomination unto him. I'd look mighty silly up here in a dress today, wouldn't I? Woo. Probably wouldn't let me get up here on this platform, would you? I got to reading over there about 1 Peter 3 and 3, and I got convicted about the gold. I found a confirmation there in 1 Timothy 2, 9. I found out over there in 1 Corinthians about how it was a shame for a man to have long hair. There ain't no such thing as no Christian Biker Association, whatever they call themselves, they're sporting their big old tattoos and their leather vest and getting on their Harleys. I'm going to tell you, that's of the world. It's of the devil. It ain't right. It ain't real Christianity, because they got long hair. And the Bible said, it doth not nature itself teach you. It is a shame. But He didn't leave the men there. He said, women, it's a glory unto you to have long hair. Amen. Woo, for your hair is given for a covering. Holiness is worth preserving. You know, I think about this because I studied some history when I was in college. And I got to studying about some of the reformers, and if you just bear with me, let me just bring this out just for a second. Some of the reformers that come out of the Catholic Church years and years ago, people like Martin Luther and John Huss and John Wycliffe, these men that were beginning to see things wrong in the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church, it meant in little c, Catholic, universal. They began to see things wrong because they were praying. And God began to show them that things were wrong. And one of the things the Catholic Church, they had this little treasure box kind of deal. And they would go from city to city. And they would lay that out. And they would have these what are called indulgences, and which was little pieces of paper. And this one priest by the name of Tinsel, he would say, every time a coin in the coffers springs, a soul from purgatory springs. Or every time a coin in the coffin rings, a soul from purgatory springs. And he would sell these little indulgences to people. It would be buying their family out of purgatory. And these men of God begin to see it wasn't right. And so they started coming against it. And they burned one man at the stake for it. They persecuted another man for it. A German reformer by the name of Martin Luther, who wrote the 95 Theses and posted it up on the wall for everybody to see what he believed. But yet he was getting a hold of something, and it later led to the Puritans, which influenced King James to bring about the old time King James version of the Bible. Every other version is a perversion version. You may be able to find a little bit more expounded and amplified, and I've read some out of some of these other versions, but I'm going to tell you, the one true Bible we all need to stick with was the King James Bible. It was good for D.L. Moody. It was good for John Wesley, and it's good for you today. You don't need some new American standard to understand the vernacular of our language. All you need is a prayer life, and God will explain what the Word of God means. The Bible said that the world cannot understand it. It is foolishness unto them. They cannot understand the Scripture, but only through the power of God.
I got to reading about how this Welch pastor, he was a praying for them coal miners. God, I need a revival in this Welsh land. And God sent one young coal miner to his church one Sunday morning who come down to an altar. He was convicted. He got saved. And he dedicated his life to prayer and unto fasting. And at the same time, there was a black man by the name of William J. Seymour. And he moved down to Texas. And because he was black, he was not allowed to sit in the college class. He was able to sit outside the door. And he got to hear in the professor talking about the Holy Ghost. It stirred him up inside, and he moved over to California, over to Azusa Street, and there they had this little house with this little front porch, and they started having prayer meetings there, and the people, they started coming in, and there was one night that the Holy Ghost came down and baptized them. Hallelujah. And that porch, it broke. They said, we need to get us a bigger place. There was this Mormon man, and at the time, history was not allowing a Mormon to be in polygamy, so they had to move from that big old storage building they were living in. That's when William J. Seymour and those people bought that big old building there on Azusa Street, and that's when God began to send a Pentecostal move right there in 1906, just a few years prior, up in Wolf Creek, Camp Creek, North Carolina. The Church of God was experiencing in the late 1800s the Holy Ghost power. It was all starting to come together. The Church of God was formed. The Assemblies of God were developed. In all the churches, we brought in the Pentecost. We could go through, you know the history. But what I want to bring to your attention, where are those churches today? Somebody has quit fighting for what we believe in. Wade H. Horton was the general overseer of the Church of God. My daddy, he was anointed by him, and he was called to preach under Wade H. Horton. He was the overseer of the Church of God. My grandfather helped Brother Wade H. Horton build a church in South Carolina. My great-grandfather led the choir singing for him and was a Sunday school superintendent. My great-grandmother was a Church of God missionary to Africa, and she established a lot of Church of Gods up in Illinois and Montana in that area. And Wade H. Horton, he was approached when he was a young minister by an old-time Baptist minister, and he said, be careful that you don't let the power of God slip out of your churches like it has ours. And he held that all the way to his grave. I read the letter Wade H. Horton wrote to all of his pastors in the Church of God. And it said, brethren, let me admonish you concerning this wedding band that they have been asking to bring into the Church of God. He said, be quick to snuff it out. Be quick to put it out. He said, because it will be a floodgate that will bring in worldliness into the churches of God. He said there was a camp meeting held, and that a message was given out in tongues saying it was okay to wear the wedding band. And there was an elder brother, thank God for elder men of God, who was on a feeble cane, who stood up and said, this message is not of God. Where is the churches of God today? They are backslidden. Sure, there may be a few holding on, but my God in heaven, holiness is worth fighting for. Where's our Assemblies of God today? My question is, where were Calvary? Holiness, where will Broxton be in the years to come? Holiness is worth fighting for. Our home is worth fighting for. Holiness is worth fighting for. Do you know what you're holding on today in your standard? We have some today. You can look across this church today and you can see a lot of empty seats. You can see a lot of missing faces. Some are out because they're backslid. Some are out because they have turned to be a prodigal. I mean, you could think about some of the preachers that's caught up here behind this pulpit that have labored for your soul that are out tonight in adultery, in another marriage, that are committing such horrible sins and degradations to their soul. You know, they quit praying. But if you quit praying, one day God's going to get a hold of one of those prodigals. This young person, listen to Brother Russell. I was a prodigal. I grew up in church. I knew some of what was right, some of what was wrong. It wasn't lived outside of the church at the house like it needed to be. And mom and dad, if we don't live like what we need to be at the house, it ain't going to do our children no good. But just as God
got a hold of me when I was down in that hog pen. And he picked me up out of it and put my feet on a rock and cleaned me off on the inside and on the outside. There are some that are not here today that God is working in their behalf. Don't you believe that, Mama? Don't you believe that, Daddy? There's some children out there that's out there in the world that God's working on their hearts and God's a pulling on them. And there's going to be a day that some of them are going to come right back to Broxton. It may be in this youth revival that's about to take place with Brother Jim preaching that. And one of them may come home. Two or three may come home. But will we still have the standard of holiness that they remembered when they left out? Or will they see great compromise? Will they see a great falling away? The Bible said there will be a great falling away in those last days because men will be given over to seducing doctrines. I mean doctrines of hell. I don't want to go that way. I want to fight for holiness. Brother Brent and Sister Terry Lord is a good example at our church. They moved down from Maine about 5 years ago and I've never been in holiness. And they were invited to come down by camp meeting. And they came down and they got touched so powerfully. I mean, they said, we are moving here. And they did. And they went up there, got all their stuff packed up. They came back and moved. And you know, when you first come into holiness, you go struggle sometimes. You go fight because it's not the way the world is flowing like a river. It's like you're going up against it. I mean, any dead fish can float downstream. But it takes a live fish to float upstream. And so they got the experience in that current, that undertow, so to speak. And they got discouraged. And they left. And they went back to Maine. And they lived there for just a couple of weeks. And when they got back down to praying, and they got to looking across at everybody they was around, and realized there wasn't no power of God in any of those people's lives or any encouragement to help them, they got to missing what they had down there. And when they got convicted, they called up our pastor, Brother Noah, and they said, we made a mistake. Would it be all right if we come back? He said, come right on. And you know what they did? They packed up what little belongings they had. They drove back. And there they have been established at our church for so many years now. They are happy about being in holiness. They realize what they missed. They were realizing that. But too many people have gone out saying, I'm just going to experience the world a little bit. I'm going to experience just a few cigarettes. I'm going to experience just a few joints. I'm going to experience just a few drinks, and you wind up going around a curb at a high speed rate on a rainy, dark night, and you lose control, and you find your car wrapped around that tree. You find yourself lying in a ditch, cut to pieces, dead, and there's no opportunity to turn around and say, God, I'm sorry. Why didn't I listen to the preacher? Why didn't I make up my mind? Holiness is right. Holiness is worth fighting for. This is the way my parents live. This is the way my grandparents live. This is the way our forefathers live. And this is the way I want to live. Oh, come on and help me here. I'm going to try to get out of your hair. Our home is worth fighting for. Holiness is worth fighting for. And the Holy Ghost is worth pressing on for. Then if I asked you today how many's got the Holy Ghost, no doubt a whole lot of hands would go up around here. A whole lot of hands would go up around here. I got to reading the other day in the book of Acts, and I got to finding out where Philip, in a time of persecution, and they had just stoned Stephen, they just killed him, and Saul was standing there consenting unto his death. It said that there was great persecution there in the city of Jerusalem, and the whole church was scattered except for the apostles. They were still together. And it said Philip, he went down into the city of Samaria, and there he began to preach Jesus Christ unto the Samaritans. You can remember just a few years prior to that, or actually just about half a year prior to that, Jesus
Jesus went through there because he said, I must needs go through Samaria. There was a woman that he was intending on meeting there at the well. And there's a God in heaven that's intending on meeting somebody in this altar here this morning. Jesus said, I must needs go by Broxton today for one soul. You may be lost today. My God in heaven wants to save you. You may be desiring sanctification or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My God wants to baptize you today. You may be desiring healing for your body. My God wants to heal your body today. So Philip, he picked up where Jesus left it with him, and he went unto that city and began to preach Jesus. And it said that the city was saved and were baptized. There was a man there by the name of Simon the sorcerer. He believed and he was baptized, and he marveled at all the miracles that Philip did. But they did not leave it there, because when the word got back to the apostles back there in Jerusalem, they sent Peter and John unto Samaria. And the Bible said that they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Church, we need the Holy Ghost today. We need the desire for the fire. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but there is one mightier than I whose shoes latchets. I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need a desire for the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need to fight and press like we never pressed to have the Holy Ghost. You said, but I got the Holy Ghost years ago. When's the last time you spoke in tongues in your prayer closet at home? When's the last time you shouted your bobby pins down? When's the last time you got a hold of it and messed your hair up? When's the last time you rolled in the floor? Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, I hope this ain't too tight this morning. The Holy Ghost is worth fighting for. We need it. I need it. My children need it. Your children need it. Our church needs it. This world needs to see something different in us. Why are they drunk? They look like they're drunk. No, they just had an upper room experience. They can't understand what we're talking about. Some of you may not understand what I'm talking about. It may be because you ain't got what I'm talking about, but you don't have to leave that way today. You can leave with what I'm talking about. Is your cup half empty or is it half full? How you looking at it today? I mean, are you leaking or are you seeking after the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Young person, you need the Holy Ghost to live in this day. We need the Holy Ghost. You said, preacher, do I have to have it before I go to heaven? No, you don't. The man on the cross, you learned about it in the Passion. There was one on the cross that said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your paradise. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, he wasn't even baptized with water. Tell that to the Baptist preacher. Woo! But he believed in Jesus. And he knew he was wrong. I'm telling you, I don't have to have the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven, but I sure want to have the Holy Ghost because he helps me out a whole lot. And I'll just tell you my short little story. I'm going to try to get out of your hair. It was in the summer of 2000. On a Sunday morning, I was standing right over there in about the middle of where that first pew was. Choir leader, where's the choir leader at? Where you at, brother? Right there. He was up there leading, not this brother, but there's another brother. He was up there leading. He was up there leading the singing. I don't remember what he was singing. I really wasn't paying attention to him. You know why? Because I was praising the Lord. And a lot of times we come into the church and the brother done prayed about the songs he needs to lead because he's trying to tie things in with that morning service and what God's been a-doing. And some of us come in careless. That morning I came in, I was praising God and I was worshiping him. I got my mind, my eyes, my focus off of everyone else, and I got it solely upon Jesus. And when I got down there and I was a praying, I was a seeking God, I'm going to tell you, that power that hit me in the top of my head, it knocked me back into that pew. I had my eyes closed. I felt it spring me back up. I was back on my feet. It hit me again. I fell back in the pew again. I felt it spring me back up. And when it did, it felt like a bolt of lightning charged through my chest. I took off running. And I ran that direction right there. I cut up that aisle. I never run before. My eyes were closed most of the way. I remember I opened them up long enough to see Sister Reed back there in the back. And dear old gray-headed sister, she was back there praising God. I remember I plowed right into her like a football player. I couldn't stop myself. I kept on coming on around the church, and I was thinking in my mind, dear God, I just injured that old lady, but I can't stop. I'm going to tell you something. When it's done in the spirit, there ain't nobody going to get hurt. It is done right. Hallelujah. By the time I got up to the front of the church, there was old Sister Reed right up there. She had this pullover sweater that she liked to wear. She was up there. Her arm was going like a windmill. She was a shouting that sweater right off of that head, and her hair was just a shouting and a shaking. Bobby Pins was just a flying. I'm telling you, I got baptized in the good Holy Ghost that morning. I love what I feel. I feel it right now. I'm telling you, church, we need the Holy Ghost. We need a fight. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Would you stand all over the church this morning? When they come to the piano, Brother Verlin Anderson was a very large man, very wide man. And he came up to the altar a lot of times and was seeking the Holy Ghost. No doubt he could have left discouraged so many times. But he got up one night, they prayed. I think it was like on a Wednesday night, Sunday night maybe. And he had prayed so long, was crying and weeping. He didn't get the Holy Ghost right then. But he got up from the altar and he began to make his way down that center aisle. And about in the middle of that aisle, I'm talking about a massive man. A lot of man. Take a lot of clothes to, you know, makes clothes for him. You know, a lot of material. Big old man. I tell him I love him. He's a good brother. He fell out in the middle of that aisle right there, speaking in tongues. The power of the Holy Ghost came on him. You've probably heard so many stories, and I don't want to bore you with them. I can think of another story of a man who was so determined to get the Holy Ghost. He said, honey, children, I've got to pack my bags. I've got to leave town. I've got to get the Holy Ghost. I got to get out of here and get a hold of you. He packed his bags. He kissed his wife and children there on the front porch, stepped off the steps, and when he got down to the little gate, he opened the gate, turned to walk out and shut it. He waved to his family, and the power of the Holy Ghost fell on him. He began to speak in tongues. God saw his determination. One black boy, a little boy, asked an older minister in the country. He said, what do I have to do to get the Holy Ghost? He was passing by a barn that day, and there was this big old tub of water. That minister grabbed that boy and held him down up under that water, and that boy was a struggling. He was a struggling up under that water, and finally that man brought him up, and he said, what are you trying to do, kill me? Said the minister, took and put him back up under the water. He was just a fighting and struggling, trying to get up out of the water. He pulled him up out. He said, what is going on? He said, I'm about to die. That minister said, son, when you want the Holy Ghost that bad, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. I mean, how bad do you want him? Are you willing to push the plate back? Are you willing to fast a little bit? Are you willing to persevere and press in when your buddy has got up from the altar and gone and sat back down? If they're not wanting it, I mean, don't let that be your hindrance. Don't let that stop you. You go after the Holy Ghost with all that you have. We need the Holy Ghost in this hour. Time ain't gonna permit me to speak about our health and bring out all the scriptures about that. But I'm going to share this with some of you because I know some of y'all are facing sicknesses. Just a few years ago, I had a tumor come up inside of my head. And that was one of the most scariest things that's ever happened to me. I mean, I've done some crazy things. I've jumped out of airplanes 18 times. I've gone skiing up in some double black diamond slopes in Europe and in Colorado. I've done some crazy, extreme things in my life. I'll tell you something, young person. All them things, they are all traps that will pull you into a hog pen. Don't go after the way the world's going. I've been there and I've done that, and it ain't worth it. It's not worth it.
I grew up a spoiled, rotten brat. My daddy, he bought me everything I wanted. We lived in a three-story house. We had maids. He bought me, my first car was a Toyota Corolla. Then he bought me a brand new Ford Explorer. Then he brought me a BMW, 4 inches off the ground, 5-star rims, ruby red. Sports package inside, Kenwood CD player. I mean, I thought I was bad. I had everything I wanted. But you know what? There's not one single pleasure in any of those things. You could be the wealthiest man and be the most miserable man. You can have all of life's possessions and be the most miserable person. But when that tumor come up on my head, I went to the doctor. And they did an MRI, did a CAT scan, and they seen it there. And I had to go to Emory. They did a biopsy at the VA hospital close by Emory. I went to both hospitals. And the doctor called me back and said, "You got cancer." They said it's malignant. And I mean, you know what that means. I mean, you're in the stages of death. And so the devil began speaking to me, said, "You're going to die. Such and such is going to happen to your wife. And you're going to get remarried. And the children are all going to backslide." All these horrible things. And we were praying at the church. And we just kept putting our faith in God. And we were being faithful to the house of God. Regardless of how I felt. Regardless of what the doctor was saying. 3 days later, that doctor called me back. She said, "I made a mistake." She said, "It's not malignant. It's benign." And I said, "That's some progress right there. Thank you." But I still had to face the decision of what I was going to do because I still had a tumor in my head. I just found out it wasn't cancerous, but I still got a tumor. So we went to Shands Hospital. My pastor was taking me to all these different hospitals. We went to MCG in Augusta, Shands Hospital in Gainesville. And the tumor board said, "We can cut you open two ways. We can cut you open like this, peel you down like an orange and go inside and get it. We can crack your jaw open, swing it open, go inside that way and get it." Neither one of those ways sounded appealing to me. I said, "I got to find another alternative." And the tumor board doctor there, his brother's a radiation specialist there in Albany. So we went back there and met with him, and he said we could radiate it 2 times a day for 6 weeks. But the tragedy of it all, they said, "You're going to have some things that you're going to lose." So you're going to lose your hair permanently over there on this side. And the radiation will be so strong, you'll lose it over there. You'll lose your hearing permanently. You'll lose your eyesight because of the magnitude of the dosage and the amount of it. You'll lose your taste. You'll lose your teeth over there, your throat. He said it'll swell. You probably won't be able to eat. You'll probably have to drink soup and all this for years to come. So my wife wrote down all of these little negative things that he said. She put them on little sheets of paper and put them inside this little mason jar. And on there she put a little paper on the front of it that said, "God is going to put a tumor in this jar." And she would bring that to church with her every service. We went down to Brother King's down there in Florida, there at our church, and she would come in, and sometimes just in the middle of service, she would pick up that jar, and she'd go to walking through the church. And I'm telling you, I would cry when I seen her do it, because there was some days, my baby, she had a whole lot of faith, but I knew the pain that I was feeling in my body. My faith wasn't there. My strength wasn't there. My life was crumbling. My heart was falling apart. But I held on to the Lord, and I started that radiation. All them things started happening like the doctor said. I lost my hair. I mean, I was bald for a long time. I lost my hearing. I lost my taste. All these things were leaving me. And I was sitting right over here with this brother standing, about right there, Brother King's camp meeting. And he come off that platform, and he grabbed me by the hand. And when he did, I felt the power of God come down. When he grabbed me and he took me around that altar, and I felt the holy God of heaven reach down into my soul that day. And I don't know what happened from that point to that next Sunday morning when I went down to my church. My pastor, he had a great burden, and he reached out for me. And God, somewhere in the midst of all that, came by. He gave me my hair back. He gave me my hearing back. He gave me my taste back. He gave me everything back. My God is real. I'm telling you, your home is worth fighting for. Holiness is worth fighting for. The Holy Ghost is worth fighting for. Your health is worth fighting for. Heaven is worth pressing into. Oh, in hell is worth fighting against. David, he didn't lay there in defeat and in his discouragement when he seen a city burned. But he trusted God and he inquired at the man of God and he said, pursue, pursue. And the Bible said, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the Holy Ghost. David recovered all. Do you need to recover something this morning? Maybe it's in your personal life. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's your Holy Ghost. Maybe it's your son or your daughter. Oh, has some torment come upon your home? Has some disaster struck you? I'm going to tell you, there's a remedy for every question. Everything you face this morning, there's a remedy. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's pointed him to you last night. In the center of there, of that wall is a cross. And the sin and destruction that has separated you from God, God sent a cross through his son, Jesus Christ, to build a bridge for you to cross to answer every need you have. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father God in heaven, oh mighty God, Lord Jesus, if there be one, if there be a home, if there be a boy, a girl, if there be a young adult, if there be an elder, Lord, you know, God, what we all face and go through. God, I pray that today, God, you will meet the need. God, I pray in these altars, God, you will save souls, that you will sanctify, that you'll even baptize in the Holy Ghost and fire. God, that you will heal bodies. God, that you will restore prodigals home. God, and I pray, God, for that home here today that's almost in shambles. Lord, that you would strengthen those things remain. Oh, God, that you'll tear down every wall of opposition that devil tries to bring. God, that you will bring peace here this morning in the hearts of all of us. Oh, God, I pray. Those that would like to step out and come unto these altars, I'm going to ask you at this time as our brother's playing, if they like to sing, you're here today and you have a need. You want God to meet today. Would you please step out from where you are? Young person, oh, the world's not worth it. Why don't you surrender everything unto God? Oh, as those that are coming, search your heart, mama. Search your heart, daddy. You have a son that's lost. He needs you to pray. That prodigal daddy was there waiting, looking for his son to return. We need somebody to stand in the gap. Your home is worth fighting for, sir. Holiness is worth fighting for. The Holy Ghost is worth fighting for. Oh, mighty God, help us here today.